just like you. They like you. Love like you. Help me to look just like you.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for what you have been doing in our individual lives and family. Thank you for your truth that we have always received through this avenue. Thank you because of your servant, which you have used for us thus far. And thank you for the revelation knowledge you have given unto us concerning prayer. Lord, as we are going to be sharing today, pray that your Holy Spirit will grant understanding unto us in Jesus' name. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow out as we look into your word together, and at the end of the teaching we shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you because of answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate God for every one of us again bringing us to this place where we can share the word of God together. We have been looking on the issue of prayer, and we've learned a lot. A lot have been taught, a lot have been said. And right now we are making a lot of progress. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the issue of prayer, faith, and persistence. And it has been very wonderful. The last teaching especially was fantastic. I listened to it where the brother was comparing the issue of I was teaching about the issue of the unjust judge and the widow, and he was trying to show us that it's a contrast. That old story, that old concept, God Christ was trying to show us a contrast, and he was not asking us to compare the unjust judge with God. Rather, it's actually a contrast. Like if the unjust judge, even though the unjust judge is unjust, who neither fears God nor fear man, would do that because of persistence, then what much more, how much more God? How could we think less of God if the unjust judge could do that? So it's now at the end of the summary of the old teaching which Jesus was given, the old parable, was Jesus said, when I come, would I find faith on earth? So the old teaching was about faith, not about bombarding heaven and crying out heaven, tearing apart heaven to make God respond to you. We also learn things about what persistent is not and what persistence is, and it was really a wonderful moment of teaching. Today, because of time, we'll not be spending a lot of time doing revision. Today we're just going to move on. We are looking at the matter of spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare, as the topic suggests, we're going to be looking at the first part today, and we pray that we'll be able to go a long way. Spiritual warfare, as the name suggests, you know, warfare is particularly, in a more simpler term, means to fight. I mean, to engage in a fight. Warfare is the matters that concerning war. That means the concerning a battle, a fight. So that's very straightforward to understand. Then it says spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare means it has to do, it's a warfare, a kind of fight that has to, that pertains to things that concern our spiritual life. A kind of warfare that pertains to things that concerns our life of walk with God. So this is what this whole concept is about, spiritual warfare. Well, I must say this, that this theme, this topic, is one of the most misunderstood topic in the Christian body today, especially in this part of the world. I don't know about other parts of the world, but in this part of the world, in fact, you discover that there are churches that were planted, so to speak, that there were churches that were raised by leaders, by certain leaders or preachers or pastors, and that the whole purpose of the establishment is for spiritual warfare, to just fight some kind of spiritual battle, and their concept of fighting spiritual battle is totally the opposite of what the Bible is actually talking about. So we need to understand that this matter is a very serious matter, and it's one of the reasons why the church is going through a lot of challenges today, and one of the reasons why why many believers are going through many challenges, because of the misunderstanding we have about what spiritual warfare is all about. And in this series of teaching, we are going to be taking our time to debunk some of these issues and to explain what spiritual warfare actually is. Praise the Lord. Let me start by saying this, because we have no time to move around and to play around. Let me first talk about this major misconception about what spiritual warfare is about. You know, the concept of most people is that this spiritual warfare is about engaging the devil in some kind of fight. And you know, you see people who do, you see churches today have all manners of arrangements for spiritual warfare, so to speak, whereby they engage in the devil in a long time of battle, in a long hours of battle in prayer. Believe me, if it's by our prayers or by our effort or by what we'll do that will defeat the devil in prayer, believe me, what happens to many of us when we do not pray as we should? That puts us in a very dangerous plane. So you see many churches today who do vigils, who go to mountains, visit, do a lot of engage in a lot of activities, have these prayer chains. I'm not saying prayer is wrong in itself. Prayer in itself is not wrong. Prayer chain is not wrong. I've been prayer warrior. Prayer warriors is not wrong. But what are they coming together to do? What's our prayer meant to do? If your concept is that you're fighting some kind of spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle is fighting some kind of evil powers, and trying to engage in some verbal confrontation with the devil, whereby you just keep shouting and yelling at him again and again and again and again over finance or over growth or over whatever, and you think that what you are doing is spiritual warfare, you're wrong. I remember when we were growing up in the church where we attended when we were growing up, we had this minister, this particular pastor that comes around, and whenever he comes and is the one leading prayer, he's usually the one in charge of leading prayers. So whenever he comes around and is the one leading prayer, and he sees you that you are not giving all of these, how do I put it now? And you're not doing all of these gesticulations, you're not doing all of these gymnastics, I should call it. You're not jumping around, you're not sweating, you're not shouting, you're not screaming. It's going to tell you right there that the devil is going to get you if this is how you pray, because his whole concept of spiritual warfare involves all of this gymnastics and yelling against the devil. Believe me, that is a totally wrong conception. There is nowhere, there is no portion of the New Testament, there is in fact no portion of the Bible where you'll see believers, the apostles, where you'll see Christians engage in such kind of yelling, shouting, and some kind of physical activities in the name of prayer. And they would say what they are doing is spiritual warfare against the devil. That is a total misconception, because if God would leave us to fight the devil by our prayers and by yelling and by shouting, believe me, we are not a match to fight the devil by ourselves. If that's what scriptures mean. I know some of you are beginning to remember scriptures, some scriptures now, and you're saying, what is this young man talking about? But we're going to take time to explain what the Bible is saying, all of the portions where you may be thinking what I'm saying now is wrong. But get it straight. We are not, you see, let me just say this, although we have discussed this again and again, but let me just say this right straight unto us, that you see, if we still have a fight to fight against the devil, listen. I'm not saying the devil doesn't try to fight us, but if our fight is against the devil, if our spiritual warfare is directly against the devil, then Jesus had no reason to die. Okay, I know some of you are thinking that maybe he died to empower us so that we are able to fight the devil. No, that is wrong. See, on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, and he said, "It is finished," all manner of fight against the devil was finished. All manner of fight we might want to have to engage the devil was totally concluded. It's not our business now to engage the devil in some kind of warfare where you're yelling at him and screaming at him and you think you're praying. That is not prayer. Brothers and sisters, that's not what the Bible is talking about. But because when Jesus died, the Bible says we were in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says we are raised up with him and then we are seated with him in the heavenly places where Christ, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places at the right hand of God, and where we are seated in Christ is far above where the devil could operate. So if in your fight, you never see any of the apostles or any of the early believers engaging in yelling, engaging in shouting, screaming and praying against, I know there's a place of balance, and I'm going to do that as we go on. And what you're doing is engaging the devil, scream at the top of your voice, and you think that is spiritual warfare. No, no, no. That is not spiritual warfare. If you are doing that, then you are wrong. Jesus had overcome for us. When it comes to our fight against the devil in prayers, do you get that? But does the devil fight us? Of course it does. But it does not fight us by some kind of evil forces or some kind of evil forces or using some kind of a demonic. It's not fighting us by some kind of demonic means. It's only fighting us in what we're going to learn very shortly, and you understand that the way to fight back and the way to engage in spiritual warfare and overcome is not by engaging the devil in a fight. Praise the Lord. If you're engaging the devil in a fight, you're fighting a battle that is not yours. Alright? But then we're going to ask the question now, okay, does spiritual warfare exist at all in scriptures? Of course, yes. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare, and we can remember some scriptures now. Some of us that are Bible students can remember some scriptures now. If you go in Revelation chapter 2, see Jesus Christ talking about he that overcomes again and again about 7 times, and in many portions in the book of Revelations, which tells us or makes us know that this spiritual life we have is a life of fighting. And that's why if there was no fighting, there would be no need to talk about overcoming. So if there is something as called overcoming, then there is surely a fight. Praise the Lord. Alright? Then if you look at scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 6, especially if you start from verse 12, where Paul was saying, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. So he was telling Timothy to fight the good fight, but it's the good fight of faith. So there is a fight, there is something called spiritual warfare. But is it what we think? Is it what many of the people who go to church today think? No, it's not what they think. What they think is totally contrary. Fighting the devil is not fighting the good fight of faith. At another time, Paul was saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course. See, there is a fight, and he said he has fought. At another point, he said, I do not fight like he that beat the hair. He was talking about the running and talking about fighting. He said, I do not fight like someone who beat the hair. I'm talking about the fact that he knows what exactly is fighting. And this is the problem we have today in the church. We do not really know what we are fighting. Praise the Lord. We really do not know what we are fighting. And if we do not know what we are fighting, you cannot have victory and you cannot overcome if you have a wrong object. If what you're fighting, what you're engaging in spiritual fight is not what the Bible teaches concerning fight, it's already a lost battle. Praise the Lord. It's already a lost battle. Pray the Lord will grant us understanding in Jesus' name. And lastly, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be using some of these references during this teaching. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read from verse 3, was talking about another fight, talking about the efficiency of the saints, talking about the issue of wrestle in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It was talking about the weapons of our warfare. So we're going to be looking at all of this and applying it in the proper way which the Bible is supposed to be interpreted. When you attend some of these vigils, you go to some of these programs, and you see the way people pray. You could tell if they are like we learned last week. You could tell if they are sons or if they are slaves. You could tell. You see, you could tell in the way they engage in the spiritual warfare, so to speak. You could tell, are these really children, or are these slaves? Are these really children of God who understood what Christ has done for them? Alright, so to begin, there are going to be major five outlines. I'm going to be sharing during this teaching, five major outlines, which we're going to be sharing during this teaching. Number one is, we're going to be talking about why do we fight? I mean, why? What's the purpose of our fight? As a background, we should know, what is our fight all about? Why are we fighting? Number two, we're going to learn about what do we fight? What is it that we are fighting? In the first portion, why do we fight? And the answer to that is in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at it today. We'll be starting with that today. Why do we fight? And the answer is in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And in the second portion, we're going to be looking at what are we fighting? So what is the fight actually about? The first is why are we fighting? The second one is what are we fighting? And then the third one is what are we supposed to do? What do we do before we fight? And that's also can be taken from mostly from Ephesians chapter 6. What do we do before we fight? Then what do we do to fight? And finally, how do we fight? Five major subtopics. And we're going to start this evening. Number one, why do we fight? If you go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, because you see, when you attend programs, I'm saying this because I don't know, there may be some of us that needs to hear this. When you attend programs, you go to vigils, you go to conferences, especially prayer programs, and then they scare the hell out of you and tell you what the devil is doing to those person, how the devil killed somebody after he graduated from school, how the devil did this, destroyed this person, and then they get you all scared and then motivate you. They take that to be motivation to pray, and then you pray out of that kind of fear that grips your heart, and you say, wow, you also cry out to God, I don't want my life to be like this. And then you wrestle and fight against some demonic power and demonic forces that might be wanting to work against your progress or wanting to work against your sources. Believe me, brethren, that is totally wrong. So why do we fight? Let's start in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If you read from, Ephesians chapter 5, I mean, sorry. Okay, sorry, 6. I'm not opening Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to start reading from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The first thing he says is, but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this heavenly, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Okay, let me just stop there for this one. So why are we fighting? We are fighting. The answer is in verse 11. We are fighting. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason we are fighting, listen to this gospel truth. The reason we are fighting is to be able to stand, to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. That's what wiles means, the deception, the lies of the devil. Your fight is against the deception of the devil. Praise the living Jesus. That's our fight. What our fight is all about as believers, why we need to fight, is so that we will not be caught in the web of the wiles of the enemy. You see, if you read down, it speaks further later about the fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery darts of the devil. The fiery darts of the devil is still talking about the same thing, wiles. The only way, the only thing the devil could do against the believer now is to send wiles to deceive you, to totally make you believe, to have, make you have some belief system that is contrary to God's belief system, to make you believe things that are opposite to faith in Christ, to make you shift your ground from what Christ has done for you and believe a lie. Let me quickly say this. There are many churches today. Let me drop this bomb. There are many churches today that from right the pulpit, what is being taught is the serpent's doctrine. What is being taught is the wiles of the devil. Beware of such congregations. Let me put this in another way. You see, what we are fighting, I mean, why I'm beginning to take what we are fighting in the same vein now. The reason why we are fighting is so that we are not going to be caught in the deception of the devil. If we are caught in the deception of the devil, then the devil will be able to exercise, will be able to manipulate us. Let me give an example. See, normally, a believer, the devil has no power over the believer. The devil cannot inflict afflict a believer. But the only way the devil could get entrance into the life of a believer is to lie to him. If the devil succeeds in lying to a believer, making you believe his lies, like he did in the Garden of Eden, told Eve a lie. The moment Eve believed the devil's lies, then the devil was able to gain some level of control over the human race. So the old system, the old kingdom of darkness, the old system of the devil is built on lies. Amen. You know, the devil is the 419. What he does is this: it sells to you the lie, that it makes you believe the lie is the truth. Once you accept the lie, you believe the lie, he'll be able to gain entrance into your life because you have given him the key into your life by believing the wiles of the devil. So why do we fight? We are fighting so that we will not be caught in the web of devil's lies. Amen. And like I was saying the other time, that there are churches, there are congregations today that right from the pulpit, what is being taught is the devil's lies. Can you imagine that your own spiritual life, your own spiritual battle is so that you will not be trapped in the wiles of the devil, and yet you go to a church where all that is being taught are the wiles of the devil? And I know some of you don't get this now, but it's the truth. When you go to churches where the devil is, where the devil is magnified, you go to the churches where, in quotes, they call themselves deliverance ministries, and all they do is to tell you the works of the devil, how the devil is able to operate, what the devil does to you, make you get scared of the devil, and they scare the hell out of you by telling you what the devil does. That church is built on the wiles of the devil. They will never allow you to be able to engage in proper spiritual warfare. Rather, you'll be a loser when it comes to spiritual battles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? Are we getting this? That's an example. Another example is when you go to churches where all that is being taught is where you could do works to attain to God's life or to fulfill God's demand as a means of righteousness, where holiness is taught as works that you need to do. That is wise. Those are wise of the devil. If you attend such churches, you are already going to, you are going to lose your spiritual battle, because already the truth, the word you listen to, is already based on the wise of the devil. And if he also goes to churches whereby what is emphasized are battles of life, battles of this, battles about that, battle about this, battles about that, and they never teach you what Christ has done for you in his death and resurrection, you are attending a church that has subjected you already to the wiles of the devil. So listen very well as I teach this evening. What we are going to be talking about on spiritual warfare is what many church are not even fighting. Rather, they are what many church has rather given themselves into. Caught in the web of words of the devil's doctrine. They are caught in the wiles of the devil. So there is no purpose at all to their spiritual warfare. So the purpose of our fight is that we may be able, you see, to experience victory in all areas, in all spheres of life. We need to be able to escape the wiles of the devil. It comes to you in your heart. It comes to you through books. It can come to you through friends. It can come through to you, even through men of God. Come through to you through many means. There are many ways that devil serves his wiles to you. And the reason why we engage in spiritual battle is so that we may be able to stand and withstand this wiles of the devil. Praise the living Jesus. So what do we fight then? What do we fight? Or let me put it this way so that we don't get it mixed up with the first one. With what do we fight? Now, in this way, we go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to show you something here and then we're going to come back to Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you read from verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, but do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You see how he describes it? He called it weapons of warfare, talking about warfare, real warfare. It says they are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So it's what Paul is saying here is this: we are in a warfare, obviously. And our warfare is not according to the flesh. Our warfare has nothing. It's not by the principles. It does not follow the same principle by which the flesh fights. How? This is powerful. You know, this is what many people don't get today. Where many people fight their spiritual warfare, like we also had last week, it's like going to mountains facing the sun. Some will strip themselves naked at 12 o'clock in the midnight. Some we are, I don't know, all manners of things people do today. Some we are, I've seen a picture where a lady was, I don't know if some of you have seen it, was holding a candle, some candlesticks, and lighting the candle and making an old candle burn on her hand. Can you imagine that? I've seen one where a young guy placed a candle on his head and makes all the wax come upon his face and come upon all his body just in the name of spiritual warfare. The Bible says the way we fight is not according to the flesh. It's not the same way we engage in battles in the flesh. It has nothing to do with what you do in your strength. It has nothing to do with your works. It has nothing to do with your labor. I mean, what I mean is your labor in the flesh. It has nothing to do with your strength, with your physical strength and ability. It has nothing to do with effort. It's not according to the flesh. But in verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare, the good news is we have weapons. We have weapons of warfare, and then it says these weapons of warfare are not carnal. All of this carnal means by which people pray. Drink this, say this 200 times, say this numerous times. You see churches whereby they ask you to call the name of Jesus 100 times. You have to do this. All of this manner of things. I mean, people take you from things that happened in the Old Testament, like the Old Testament things went around Jericho 7 times, and then they went through in 7 days, and then they were blowing trumpet and everything. And that's what Christians do today. You see a pastor leading his church member out of the church and telling the church member to march around the church 7 times also, just as people did in Jericho, just for them to engage in spiritual warfare and overcome. That is the wiles of the devil. If you believe that, you're already caught in the web of the exact thing you're trying to fight against. The Bible says it's not carnal. You don't fight spiritual battle. This spiritual battle we're talking about, you don't fight it by some carnal means, by some physical engagement, by some, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, it's possible that you're praying and then you're sweating. That is very possible. And it's possible you're praying and then you're gesticulating and you're doing some, you're engaging in some kind of physical exercise. I mean, like, you don't want to sleep when you're praying, so you're walking up and down, you don't, or just want the prayer to be effective, or to be to be active, and so you talk out and you also move your hand around. That's very possible. But what I'm saying is, moving your hand around or shouting or walking while you're praying is not the warfare. That is not the warfare. It has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. That could just be something you do because you enjoy it while you pray in such manner. But to put your faith in some kind of gesticulating, in some kind of repetition, shout Jesus' name 7 times, shout hallelujah 100 times, do all of these things, you know, all of these things are the carnal means people use today. You know, I was with one woman some time ago, this woman had an affliction. She was attacked. It was a demonic attack, and she had a sore that was not getting healed. She's not diabetic. It's not like she had a problem with her health, but this was just an attack. She had this sore, and the sore was not healing up, and the sore took weeks. And one way or the other, we got to meet this woman, and we had to pray with this woman so that she could receive her divine healing. Praise God. She eventually got healed. But during the time when we were trying to help this woman, we would go to her every day, visit her, check the progress of what she's going through, and then minister to her, encourage her in the word of God. You know, one of those days when we were going there, this woman was given this prayer bulletin by one pastor. I'm not going to, it's a very popular church. He's a pastor from a very popular church in Nigeria. I'm not going to mention the church. But then this man of God gave her this prayer bulletin, and this prayer instructed her to wake up at maybe 1 o'clock, I can't remember, maybe 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the midnight, and pray for about 2 hours or 3 hours, and pray all of those prayer points one after the other. And she was asked to do this for many days. And you know, immediately I got to her and I saw what she was doing, I told her, this is not going to help you. So I withdrew, just so that it doesn't mix things up. And at the moment I withdrew, not actually because I wanted to withdraw, actually I traveled, but I could have been calling to know how far. But I didn't. I just waited till I came back. On coming back, the case of this woman had gone very, very worse, to the extent that she was now beginning to have a very severe pain in the heart and in the chest, and some other pains were already involved, and the leg was literally decaying. I'm not exaggerating. The leg was decaying, that blood was not even coming out from the sore anymore. And it was disgusting and smelling. Because this woman thought, she believed, you know, because it was handed to her by a pastor, she believed it. But rather than overcoming, you know, like I said, the purpose of the fight is against the wiles of the devil. Rather than knowing what to fight and why she is fighting, she rather took the wiles. You know, in the name of a pastor, so to speak, she took the lies of the devil, whereby she put her faith in some kind of time and some kind of, in a certain manner of prayers, thinking that is where our deliverance lies. And man, it didn't work. Thank God she put it away, and we were able to stand on the victory which Christ has given to her on the cross of Calvary, and we were able to see victory. The woman became totally healed, and she left our town healed. She went back to where she came from, and she was perfectly whole. Hallelujah. So the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but many churches today engage in carnal means of praying. Go outside, bring sand. You know, people will tell you, go to your land. You know, I'll tell the pastor, dear pastor, I'm building my house and I want you to pray. The pastor will say, go to the land, bring the sand of the land, and then bring it to church and we'll pray about it. I know some of you are thinking about some things Jesus did now, and you're thinking, oh, but Jesus has put spat and put spit in someone's eyes and all of those things. I'm not saying that is not possible at some times, but note it, these were not formulas. That's what differentiates Christ from what many of our pastors are doing today. These were not formulas. This was not, you will never see Jesus use the same means to do healing at any time. You never, it's part at somewhere and put it in someone's face. After some other time, it put mud in someone's face. After another time, and then he told the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. At some other time, it was touching the people. At some other time, it was using his word. It was just per time. He had what to use by the Holy Ghost. It was not as though Jesus had some kind of repetitive manners to which he fought spiritual battle. It's not a carnal fight. And it's not a fight you can fight by your five senses or from your reasoning, whereby you begin to devise a method of fighting. Waking up 1 o'clock in the midnight for every day and for every problem, that's what you believe. Drinking some kind of water, taking some kind of, you know, all of these things do not guarantee spiritual battle. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What he's saying is that the weapons by which we fight with are not things that you can taste, feel, or touch. The word carnal there means, the word kind of mean there means it's the same word to it's the same word where the where we got carnivorous animal, that animals that eat the flesh. What he's saying is the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are not what you can feel, see, sense. They are things that are beyond that realm. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. Then goes on to say, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, these strongholds, now for many people, the way many of these common pastors, which have misunderstood the whole concept of spiritual warfare, will take is that there are strongholds that you must bombard and break open their doors, and then they go to the book of Psalms and read, lift up your head, O ye gates, and then they say, all of these strongholds must be pulled down, and then all of us in the church will begin to shout, oh, you gates, be pulled down in the name of Jesus. What kind of prayer are you praying? What kind of prayer are you praying? That's not what the Bible means about stronghold here. We go to verse 5, it says, casting down. Then it begins to explain what stronghold means. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So what are we fighting? We are fighting the lies of the devil that are in our imaginations. Hallelujah. Okay. Hope this is just as simple as it is. What we are fighting, our fight, is not to cast down the devil. The devil has been defeated. The devil is underneath our feet. We are beyond where the devil is. We are not in the same realm of the devil. So any fear-motivated prayer is not born of God. Can I come again? Any fear-motivated prayer is not a spiritual warfare. It's a carnal warfare. It's not born of God. It's not produced by the life of God. And it will never achieve spiritual means unless by special mercies. Anyway, there could be mercy. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So what I'm talking about is this. Our fight, you know, where we read in Ephesians, we're talking about the wiles of the devil. And here he's saying we are casting them down in our imaginations. Hallelujah. We are casting them down in our imaginations. So these wiles are present there in our imaginations. And what we are doing is to cast them down. There are two ways to it. Some are already present in our imaginations. We have believed wrongly the serpent's message, the serpent's teaching concerning our health, concerning our finance, concerning many things. There is a wrong mindset already in our imagination. So our weapons of warfare are to cast down these imaginations because they have become strongholds in our mind. So we are pulling down every thought and making all imaginations and thoughts to be obedient to the knowledge of Christ. That is the fight. Hallelujah. The fight is to pull down imaginations. The wiles of the devil, the ones that are trying to gain entrance, and the ones that are gaining entrance. Some of you don't know how much you have believed the devil's doctrine. You don't know how much you have believed the wiles of the devil until you begin to look into the truth of God's word. That is where your fight should be focused. Should be focused is a warfare to bring down, to pull down spiritual imaginations that are contrary to the knowledge of God. That is the fight. That is the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is a good fight because it is the fight that pertains to the finished works of Christ. That pertains concerning the revelation of who we are in Christ. So there are imaginations, there are arrows, fiery darts of the enemies thrown at us every day, spoken to us every day, coming up in our minds every day, trying to negate God's own truth, God's own word, God's own revelation that is in Christ Jesus concerning us. And then this is our fight. Our fight is to say no. Our fight is to lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Okay, let's look at that scripture quickly. 1 Timothy. We may come back here if need be, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 12. So it says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. It's a noble fight. It's the fight all saints must fight. It's a fight all saints had fought. It's a good fight. It's a good fight that I've professed, that I have good profession among thieves that are gone. It's a good fight because it's a fight that is already won, but we are laying hold of the victory. We are laying hold of the vision of God for us in Christ. We are laying hold of who we are in Christ. That is the fight. Or some of you are thinking, so what is going on? How do I even know you are engaging in this fight? You say, let me drop this bombshell. Either you know it or not, one way or the other, you are in a fight. The devil is fighting you with this fiery dart of wiles, of lies. He's making you believe something contrary to what God has said concerning you in your finance. It's making you believe what is wrong. It's making you believe the wrong thing in your earth. It's giving you wires. It's giving you lies every day. It's giving it to all of us. It's making us to see the wrong picture of ourselves. It's making you to see yourself as a defeated person. It's making us to see what is contrary to who we are in Christ. Do you know? There is a part of this that it might even look good. It's making us to trust in our good works as a means to attain to God's life. Making us trust in our effort. That is the wiles of the devil. Some of you are here. You are struggling in your finance, not because God has not blessed you and defeated poverty on the cross. We are struggling in your finances because there are wiles you have believed. There are some of you that believes if you don't tithe, you are not blessed. That is the wise of the devil, as good as it may be. Whenever you hold on to the lie of legalism, whenever you trust in your effort, whenever you believe in the law, in what you do, in your strength, effort, in the works of the flesh to please God, and then you hope to attain to God's life, to produce the life of blessing, the life of holiness, by the things you do, you are already slipping into the wiles of the devil. You are caught in the web. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could take this on and on and on. So the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Then it says, lay hold on eternal life. Let me quickly say this. Don't forget, it's not fight the good fight of prayer. It's not fight the good fight of shouting. Is the good fight of faith. It means what we are fighting is to believe. Our fight is the fight to believe. Our fight is the fight of faith. The fight to believe what God says concerning you. That's spiritual warfare. I know some of you are thinking, oh, what about some of us that have some spiritual challenges that we know these are spiritual challenges? Let me break this news to you. This may shock some of you. But the same truth I'm telling you, I tell myself. If you are experiencing defeat, take this from me. If you are experiencing defeat in any area of your life, either financial, either health-wise, you are experiencing defeat in area of whatever, in family, in child raising, in whatever. If you are experiencing defeat in any area of your life, is as a result of some wiles of the devil you have swallowed. You have swallowed, sorry. Okay, you think that is extreme now, but that is true. And the only way to undo that is to fight a good fight of faith, however long it may take you. This is what God has said concerning me. This is what I know God has said concerning me. The good fight of faith, listen to this now. The good fight of faith is the fight to comprehend, to have the word, the truth of God's word revealed to you, having to receive the revelation knowledge. Receive the revelation knowledge concerning who you are in Christ. That is the fight. All right, there's some of us here that maybe going through challenges in our health, and you're thinking, but I believe by stripes I am healed. I'm not saying you don't believe. I'm saying fight for what you believe. Fight for it. Fight until what you believe becomes a revelation. Fight until it becomes a light in your soul that destroy all the wiles of the devil you may have swallowed up. And you're thinking, no, I don't believe a lie. Don't tell me that. All of us have believed the lie. All of us are still growing. None of us have arrived. One way or the other, there are still lies we have believed that we don't even know until we have the revelation knowledge into God's truth. Alright. So it's a lay hold on eternal life. This will take me a long time to explain. So let me just give you a briefly what it means to lay hold on eternal life. You see, when we put our faith in Christ, the Bible says, whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. You see, we receive God's life, God's very life, when we believed in Christ, when we became born again, we received God's life. And don't forget, this life is God's very kind of life, the resurrected life of Jesus. That was the life we received when we put our faith in Christ. Are you following me? It's the life that cannot be subjected to death. Okay? Okay, I'm just going to give this one briefly because this will take a long time to try to explain. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. But when Jesus died and was raised from the dead, he gave eternal life to all men that believe in him. Are you following me? Through the sin of Adam, death reigned in the world. But by through Christ's death and resurrection, he gained victory over life, over death totally. And then he gave gifts of eternal life to as many as will believe in him. Are you following me? Alright. So when the Bible says we have eternal life, it's saying we are having that life that Christ had when he was raised from the dead. That life that cannot again be subjected or be won over by death. So when the Bible says lay hold on eternal life. Now let me quickly drop this for you, to you. You see, the life that Christ had after he was resurrected is a life that cannot be subjected to sickness, cannot be subjected to pain, cannot be subjected to defeat. That life is your eternal life, is God's life. So when the Bible says lay hold, what our fight is all about is the fight to hold on to the life which God has given to you. That this is what I have. This is the life I have. And even when the devil is trying to sell the wrong thing to you, what you're going through in your body, what you're going through in your finance, is telling you what is contrary, you lay hold on eternal life. That is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not directly against the devil, because the devil has been won or has been defeated on the cross of Calvary. But what is left to fight against is the lies he's now telling us. Let me take you quickly back to Eden, because my time is almost up, and I just want to give you a few summary. I want to give you a few notes before we close today on what we're going to be sharing the next time. You see, if you go back to Adam, to Eden, you see, the devil had no authority over man in Eden. He had no way he could gain entrance to the life of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had the life of God, had the power, had the image of God in Eden. And then the devil came to them and told them lies. Now, the moment they believed the lies and did what God asked them not to do, the devil was able to gain entrance into their lives. And what happened? What happened? They become afflicted. So our fight is to stand where God stands, which is in what Christ has done for us. The more of this we know, the more of this we grow Him, the more of this we believe, the greater our victory will be day in, day out. Let me say this before I just give you some few things we are going to be sharing the next time. You see, when you learn to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, listen to me. Do you know that your prayers will become more meaningful, will become more powerful, and sometimes it will not even take lengthy prayer to have things done because you have already been victorious by trusting in the eternal life which God has given you. Alright, so we've been able to share about why do we fight? We fight so that we are not caught in the web of the wiles of the devil. Or we fight so that if we are already caught in the web, we can fight our way out of the lies which the devil told us. That is why we fight. And then what do we fight? What we fight is imaginations. We fight in our imaginations. We fight against these wiles of the devil in our imaginations. We fight against these wiles, these lies of the devil in our imaginations. And this is not so that you may fear the devil. No. This is so that you can stand up and exercise your authority over the devil, over space, over motion, over the hair, over every single thing God has created. That eternal life we are to lay hold upon is that life that overcomes all things. So the purpose is not so that you say, oh, I'm afraid of the devil so that he doesn't throw his wiles at me. No. You know, as we go on in this teaching, I'm going to show you how to fight. But it's not by being afraid of the devil. Fear is of the devil. You cannot approach all of this thing I'm telling you by being afraid. No. All we need to do now is to look inward and think about your imaginations. And think about how you want to begin to fight. To think about, to know what eternal life is all about. And begin to lay hold on it. And beginning to fight against every lie of the devil which you have been told. And to walk past them and to be able to maintain victory on everyday basis. Hallelujah. Alright. Now we are done with what we have to teach today. But then next week we are going to be going into what do we do before we can fight. And then what do we do to fight. And then we are going to be talking about how do we fight. Let me just quickly give you a brief introduction into what we're going to be sharing next week, so that this will whet your appetite. And some of you love to study the Bible, you can go ahead and study the Bible. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The first thing we're going to be sharing next week is about being strong in the Lord. You cannot fight without being strong in the Lord. You need strength for spiritual battle. Without strength, there is no fight. You know, if you are given all of the weapons in the world, you're given all of these weapons in the world to fight, and yet you have no strength, you can't fight. Believe me, you can't fight. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to be talking first about being strong in the Lord next week. Then we're going to look at verse 12 that talks about what we wrestle against, which is principalities and powers and all rulers of darkness. I'm going to speak a little more about this next week and apply it to what we have learned this week. There is no more time to share this in this present teaching. And then if you come to verse 13, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So next week I'm going to be sharing about this issue of having done all to stand, and then stand. Therefore there are two ways. The weapons are divided into two: the ones you do before you stand, and the ones you do to stand. And that's what we're going to be sharing. There are two major, there are six armor in total here. Six armor in total. There are three of them that are the things to do before you stand, and there are three of them that are things you do to stand. So we're going to be sharing this elaborately next week, and we hope that the Lord will grant us speed in the name of Jesus. So don't forget, you can't go to churches where you are being told the wiles of the devil, where the doctrines, the things they teach for doctrines are what the devil can do. No. All the devil can do now is lie to you. So when you believe his lie that he can frustrate you, then of course he will be able to frustrate you. If you believe his lie that he's able to gain entrance into your life, of course he will do. And you go to church, don't go to places where they think you
Don't go to churches whereby they establish your warfare to be limited to things you do in the flesh. By climbing mountain, I'm not saying it's wrong to climb mountain, but by doing some kind of physical exercises, maintaining some kind of time, or go to certain holy places to pray. You know, there are people that visit Jerusalem and then they come back with the water of Jerusalem, come back with the soil of Jerusalem, and they are here selling to people, and people are praying using all of those things. Man, in the 21st century, even the early Christians didn't do that. We're supposed to be better. That's serious. So don't forget. Your fight is not against the devil. Your fight is against the wiles of the devil. And next week, I will elaborate this. I will teach more on this as we look at Ephesians chapter 6 in details. Lord, we help us in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for what you have taught us this evening. We appreciate your holy name. I pray that you will speak more about this into people's hearts. You will help us to understand. You help us to run from conferences, programs, churches. We are being deceived. We are the devil is being magnified before our eyes. That's doing something. Help us to go away from teachings, go away from doctrines, go away from congregations where the devil is being magnified in such in a way that it looks like he still has some power over us. We have learned this evening that all he has against us is lies. I pray that you help us to begin to engage in this proper fight, in this good fight of faith, of laying hold on of eternal life, of believing what you have done for us, believing what you have provided for us. Lord, you grant us deeper understanding and revelation knowledge of this. Thank you because you have answered. For as many as are praying to God to understand these things more, I pray for the heart to understand, to be given to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because I've answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
The Savior alone carried the cross for all of my sin. He paid the cost. Salvation complete. Now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. See, Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has power.